Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. We appreciate you each and every week taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to the podcast and understand a little bit more about where the volumes are in the rail industry. We also want to take some time before we jump in and remind everybody to put it on their calendars now, September 13th through the 16th, the FTR Transportation Conference in Indianapolis this September. We're going to have 4 great days of content around the truck freight market, the truck and trailer equipment market, the rail freight market, as well as the rail equipment market. It will be a great 4 days. You need to get it on your calendars now. We also know many of you in the rail space love to golf. We are working on a golf event of some sort during the conference. Details to be determined. Watch this space or the website ftrconference.com for all the latest and greatest updates and information. Registration is now live. You can register your place. Make sure you have a spot at the premier transportation forecasting event of the year later this fall. Go ahead and do that as soon as we get done here on this podcast. With that, though, let's turn our attention, let's turn our sights on where we're headed this latest week and what that means for the future. And really, there wasn't a whole lot of change this week. Carload markets are still very mixed. Service remains a front burner issue with the regulators, with shippers, and with the railroads themselves. I was out at the North American Rail Shippers Association conference in Kansas City this week. Saw a lot of folks out there, and the number one thing I heard from shippers was that service was top of mind, and that there was some freight diversion going on away from the railroads because they could not handle the service. They could not handle the missed switches. They could not handle the uncertainty in their supply chain. So certainly there is upside potential on the freight side if the railroads can, in a timely fashion, resolve their service issues. Unfortunately, that does not appear to be very likely. Intermodal has shown some reason for optimism in the last couple of weeks. Volumes have increased a little bit. That's a good sign, but it's certainly not all segments of the intermodal sector, and it's certainly not across the board, and there's a lot of uncertainty there when you think about Chinese ports reopening slowly and what that means for goods movement into this country, particularly as we get to the peak season, as we get into the heart of the ILWU negotiations later this year. Certainly there's a lot of things that could go wrong with that as we go through the balance of the year. So let's take a look at those intermodal loadings. They've shown definitely some strength in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The latest week, not so much, but we did not give back any of the ground that we gained over the last couple of weeks. We held at those levels, at the same levels that we had been the week before. We're still down compared to last year, but we are maintaining our advantage relative to the 5-year average. I'll remind everybody, last year's first half, volumes were very, very strong. The comparisons on a year-over-year basis get much easier once we get into third quarter, once we get into June, July, August. We would expect to see the year-over-year numbers turn positive once we get to that point. But we just haven't seen it. We have not seen it yet. Switching gears, looking at the trailer market. Trailers, it's really the status quo that it's been for the last several months in the trailer market. Trailers have been weak. They continue to be weak. They're down about 25% on a year-over-year basis. For the last month, that's where we've been holding. There's been a little bit of volatility week to week in the absolute number, but on a year-over-year basis, still down 25%. That's one quarter of all the volume that was moving there last year is not moving there today. And it's a similar pattern when you talk about the 5-year average. You're down a similar amount, not quite as dramatic, but certainly in the 15, 16, 17, 20% kind of range. That's a huge number. Now, there's some of that freight we've heard is being converted, is moving by domestic container. Some of that is also going over the road, and some of that is outright demand destruction. I do not believe it's the beginning of the end of the trailer market. Of course, that happened very quickly in Canada about 8 or 10 years ago. I do not believe that's where we're headed in the U.S. I think there's still too much installed infrastructure out there to handle trailers that has to be depreciated out, that has to has useful life left in it. I don't think we're going quite that quickly down the slippery slope. But ask me in a couple of months, and ask me if we get down to the 14, 13, 12,000 trailer a week number, then I might have some different thoughts. But so long as we're hanging out here right around 18, 19,000 trailers a week, I'm less concerned that it's the beginning of the end of the trailer market, particularly when the beginning of the end of the trailer market has been discussed really on and off for the last decade and a half, and it's still here. It's still robust. It may not be thriving, but it's certainly still a robust part of the intermodal marketplace. I look at overall container markets. Containers are faring a lot better than trailers, certainly, and they parallel what we're seeing in overall intermodal. Again, you would expect that. Containers are 90% of the overall intermodal market. They're very close to last year's levels, but again, they didn't continue to move up the way they have over the last 3 weeks. They sort of leveled off right around 350 or so thousand containers a week. That's nicely above the five-year average, but still down below last year. Just like overall intermodal, the comparisons year over year for containers get much easier here in about a month's time. We'll be watching to see what happens as we get closer, to that. Looking at the carload markets now, though, the carload markets are a much different story, a much much more negative story when you think about them relative to intermodal. When you think about the carload volumes, we've been below our five-year average really since we've come out of the pandemic, except for a couple of exception weeks earlier in the year. Other than that, it's been below the five-year average essentially since we came out of the pandemic. We are essentially right in line in the latest week with where we were last year, which again, below the five-year average and below the prior week. So sequentially, we took a step back in the carload space in the last week as well. So we'll be watching this as we go forward. We don't expect to see significant carload growth on a volume perspective until we get later in the year, and even then it's going to be modest. It's going to be in the 1, 2%. It's not going to be anything robust. It's not going to be a GDP plus growth rate. I want to make sure everybody understands that and hears that. But one of the things that is a bright spot, if you're looking at the carload space over the 3, 4, 5 year time horizon, is economically sensitive freight. Economically sensitive freight, as a reminder, are those things that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. We don't have coal in this number. We don't have petroleum. We don't have agriculture. We have just those sort of core carload sectors, things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automotive. What you're seeing here is you're seeing that we're basically in line with last year. We're a little bit below the five-year average, but certainly a lot closer to that five-year average than we are just a slide ago on the overall carload sector. We are much closer to that five average, much closer to getting up above it as we go through the balance of the year. We'll just have to see. There's a lot of economic uncertainty out there. There's a lot of economic risk out there into the back half of the year. As one of my colleagues said earlier today, the risks are coalescing on one side. From an economic perspective, that is the downside where those risk factors are sort of lining up. We will just have to see as we go forward how long economically sensitive freight can keep up this pace of outpacing the overall carload markets. Looking now to the bulk sectors of carload, the coal markets, they didn't go down, but they didn't go up. They held pretty steady over the last couple of weeks. Really, 3 of the last 4 weeks have been at this very same level, just north of 70,000 carloads a week. It's above last year. It's not back to the five-year average. Certainly the early start to summer in some places. Stronger natural gas prices are supporting coal volumes. We expect that thesis to continue as we go through the balance of this year, and then it start to erode as we get into 2023. You have an awful lot of installed coal-fired generation that's going to come offline next year. It's going to be hard, even if natural gas prices remain elevated, to see coal loadings sustain these levels. It's very hard when you have a much smaller installed base of capacity to keep generating the same sort of volumes, even if those remaining units run harder, run at a higher capacity factor than they are now. It's just hard to keep that number from a carload perspective where it is, but it's certainly something we will keep an eye on. The early start to summer certainly has upgraded our expectations for 2022. As I said, I was in Kansas City this week. It was 96 and humid for part of the week here in Kansas City. That was just a little bit off from the 99 and 97s that we were experiencing down along the Gulf Coast. Certainly something to keep in mind as you think about coal burn. That's going to stimulate an early start to air conditioning demand, higher electricity demand. That's going to put more pressure on utilities to make sure they have enough inventory at their coal plants to get through the summer burn season, to make sure that we don't see rolling blackouts, rolling brownouts, and other issues with the electricity grid as we go through the balance of the year. Looking at the grain markets ticked up a little bit in the last week, but still remain well off last year's levels, well off the five-year average. And this is a sector that has, as we've talked about before on the podcast, underperformed so far through the start of 2022. We expect that to turn around as we get into the second half, particularly given everything that's going on. North American grain is going to have to step into that gap globally in the marketplace. We expect to see that reflected in some very strong numbers as we get into the back half of the year. Chemicals traffic took ever the slightest of a step down in the latest week, but it still remains at an elevated level, well above its five-year average, essentially on par with where it was last year, and we expect that to continue. Even with the strong increases we've seen in natural gas prices over the last month, there's still an economic incentive for chemical producers to produce in the United States and export that product across the globe. We expect that thesis to remain intact as we go forward. Petroleum products down the last couple of weeks, down a little bit below the five-year average at this point, essentially right at last year's levels. There's been a lot of volatility here. The trend line's been slightly down. We think we've sort of hit a steady state point, if you will, right between 19 and 20,000 carloads a week for petroleum products. We don't see any sort of a catalyst to move this number up or down. A lot of folks thought there would be a catalyst when crude prices went up. We don't expect that now. We haven't seen any change in the spreads between regions, and that's going to be the catalyst to see additional Canadian volume, particularly, come onto the railroad, and we just haven't seen it. We have not seen that come to pass and do not expect it to come to pass at this point. Stone, sand, and gravel, we have not seen the sort of seasonal uptick that you would expect to see into May. We saw it possibly a little bit earlier in the second quarter, but we're still below our five-year average. We're a little bit above last year, but not back to historically where you would expect to be. That said, the glass half full perspective, we're not going back down either. We're holding fairly firm at where we are in the stone, sand, and gravel industry. That's a good sign. That suggests that there is some amount of steady demand across the sector. Lumber and wood basically held its ground in the latest week after a little bit of a decline a couple of weeks ago, but still down significantly from last year, down about 10% from where we were the same time in 2021, and we're also down relative to our five-year average. So certainly lumber and wood seeing a little bit of downward pressure. We alluded to this earlier in the year, where with mortgage rates where they are, housing demand slowing, we would expect to see lumber and wood come under some pressure as we go through the balance of the year. That appears to be starting to happen. We'll just have to see what happens as we go through the balance of the year and just how much pressure gets exerted on the sector as we go forward. Pulp and paper, it surged a couple of weeks ago. It continued to move upward in the latest week. We're now above last year's levels. That's only the second time this year we've been able to say that in the pulp and paper sector. And the first time we were able to say it was when we were comparing against the Texas freeze last year. So if you take that out of the equation, the latest week is the very first time in 2022, very first time in nearly 6 months, that pulp and paper has been above last year's levels. That's a great thing to see. That's a good sign. It's a positive sign. Now, it's a little bit below the five-year average still. We're not back to where we would expect to be historically. But overall, pulp and paper finally starting to move in the right direction. And we're certainly some plant conversions that took place from white paper to brown paper. Those are through. You're starting to see additional demand come into the marketplace. We'll have to see how this plays out. I'm in a wait-and-see attitude when it comes to pulp and paper. Automotive volumes, really flat in the last week. Automotive took a little bit of a step up out of the Easter holiday, but then we really haven't moved on from there. We're just sort of treading water. We are a little bit above our five-year average. We are significantly above where we were last year when the supply chain issues in automotive really sort of came to the bear. They really sort of came to bear, came to the forefront, that, and we started to really understand just how long it was going to be relative to semiconductor supply, resin supply, rubber supply, all the things that go into an automobile and the parts around an automobile. We saw that coming to light. We saw that starting to happen this time last year. So we're above those levels, but we're not what I would call healthy. We're not back to normal in the automotive sector. And until the semiconductor issues, until some of the other supply chain issues really get resolved, we don't expect to see this number materially move higher. And that's something we expect it to do once we actually see an inflection point, once we actually get the automotive supply chain balanced and back to health. We expect this number to inflect meaningfully positive. That day is not today. That day is not, that quarter is not this quarter. It's going to be further out into the future. So to wrap up, intermodal certainly showing some signs of life, but there's an awful lot of uncertainty out there. There's an awful lot of things that could change that trajectory, from an overall weakening of the economy to disruptions at the ports, to congestion at the ports, to a surge of volume right around the peak season. There's a lot of things to watch in this sector as we go through the next few months and quarters, and we'll have to keep an eye on it and keep a very close touch with it. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you for listening this week. As always, I am your host, Todd Chernowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you see us out and about. If you have questions about what you see in this podcast, if you have questions about what you're seeing in the reports, what you're seeing in your own business, always happy to talk about the markets, talk about what we're seeing. Feel free to reach out anytime. And we're always happy. Email, call. We're always happy to discuss the markets and discuss what you're seeing in your businesses. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. Talk to you soon.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.